Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, which is an interview with a parenting expert who gives us some amazing advice on how to handle our toddlers, including some brand new ideas like emotional hygiene, upskilling, and more. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 213. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Shauna.
Hey, friendo. How are you and your family doing? Give us your check-in.
Okay, so last week's check-in was that Augie was doing awesome with his sleep.
Woot woot.
And I'm happy to report that that is continuing. He is even getting better, if that's possible. Like, he's sleeping in till almost 7 most days, sometimes past 7. Some nights he even, like, wants us to leave so he can, like, just read his books on his own. I mean, he's not reading, obviously. Just look at his books on his own and then fall asleep. Like, just a complete 180, just so pleasant. Like, it's really revolutionized our life with him.
Good. That's so exciting. Yay, Dr. Becky, for giving you all the tips and tricks.
Seriously, Dr. Becky, like, if I ever meet her, I'm going to buy her a drink because she, like, saved us.
She deserves one.
That said, Sebastian's sleep continues to suck.
Like, oh, no.
Just awful. So, like, 2 wakings a night is considered good at this point for us. And it's
so rough.
It's just so rough. But it's one of those things where it's like, we know what we have to do. We have to do the sleep training thing. But it's like, you know, it's going to be a couple nights of everything sucking even worse. You know, like, I'm going to have to keep track of how long I'm feeding him every night. And I'm going to have to, like, set my alarm so I can go in and feed him before he wakes up. And, like, no one wants to set their alarm for, like, midnight and then 3 a.m. You know, so I've just been putting it off, even though, you know, everything sucks. The other thing I discovered, which is just, like, real salt in the wound, is that I think the couch in his room has, like, a bit of a flea problem.
Oh, no.
Which is gross. Our cat Cal keeps, like, escaping, and so, like, he keeps getting fleas, and I don't put the flea medicine on them every month because they're indoor cats, but, like, I need to do it now. Like, I went and got the Revolution or whatever you put on their necks, and then I got, like, Capstar, which is the oral thing. So, like, they're taken care of now, but, like, I wasn't paying attention, and there were fleas. And I know, like, fleas can't really live very long if there's no animal host to host them. But, like, I guess they can hatch in, like, upholstery and then bite you. And then basically they have nowhere to, like, lay eggs and they die. But, like, still, it's there. And I kept having to go into Sebastian's room in the middle of the night to, like, nurse him. And then I end up in there for, like, an hour. Like, almost every night I'm just, like, falling asleep on the couch with him attached to my boob. And then I'd wake up and I have these bites on me. And at first I was like, oh shit, is it bed bugs? But, like, they didn't follow the bed bug, you know, pattern or whatever. And there's no evidence of bed bugs. And then one day before his nap, I'm, like, getting him into his sleep sack and I look on his forehead and I'm like, what is that piece of dirt? And it was a flea that had just jumped on him and was, like, trying to go into his hair. And I was like, and of course, it jumped right off, but I was just like, oh, fuck. Okay. So, like, that day I had to, like, frantically vacuum and clean, like, the whole area, like, put the cushion covers through the hot wash cycle and, like, add to the stress there. But we need to do sleep training, but we have not done it yet. So we're just continuing to walk around like zombies. But we did have a weird experience this week, which is what I wanted to talk about.
Oh, I love weird experiences.
Do you recall when Augie was maybe like 12 or like 13 months old, he had an incident that I talked about on the podcast where he stood in his crib quietly at night for like a full hour? Do you remember that?
Yeah. This was in your other house.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, he, you know, I don't remember. We must have been going through something with sleep with him, and we were watching the monitor that night, and he, like, stood up and cried for a second and then proceeded to just stand quietly in his crib for a full hour before he, like, passed out, basically sitting up with his face smushed between the rungs of the crib.
That's right. Oh, that's so strange. Yeah.
So strange. So I was reminded of this because one night this week, right after dream feeding him, I like put him down. He fell asleep for like 10 minutes or something. Then he woke up screaming like 10 minutes later. And I was like, oh, fuck, right? Okay, fine. So I went in to go comfort him. And I just dream fed him. And I think he had been latched for like a half hour for that dream feed because I was like busy scrolling TikTok and not paying attention, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm not giving you more boob, right? So I tell him that. I'm like, baby, I'm going to sing to you. I'm going to rock you. We're not doing more boob. And he lost his shit, like flailing around, arching his back, screaming while pointing towards the couch. And so I was like, honey, no, we're not doing that. I'm trying to like be calm and, you know, assertive, though, and just be like, no, we're not doing more boob. There's no more boob left. We're just going to sing. I'm trying to rock him, trying to like comfort him. And nothing is working. Nothing is working. And he's screaming like a banshee. And then he kept like leaning into the crib, which is what he does when he wants to go to sleep.
Oh, right.
So he'd like point towards the crib and I'd put him in. And then I'd put him in the crib and then he'd start screaming and reaching for me again. And I swear I did this like 5 times, right?
Uh-huh.
I'd hold him and then he'd scream and he'd reach for the crib. So I'd put him in the crib and then he'd immediately reach for me. So finally I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I don't know what you want. I can't help you. And I like just told him I was going to like go. I was basically like, I think daddy needs to take care of this because nothing I'm doing is right. So I like put him down in the crib and leave the room. And he's screaming for like a minute. And while I'm like walking to Corey and like explaining the situation to him, being like, I think you have to deal with this child. And then he goes quiet. I was like, what is he doing? So I look at the monitor and I see that he is just sitting there quietly staring off into the distance.
Uh-huh.
And this child sat quietly in his pitch black room for like over 20 minutes. Just looking around and being a weirdo.
Really?
Yes. So I have a video of it. I'm not going to send you the full 20 minutes, obviously, but...
Okay, let me see.
Here, I'm sending you like a 2-minute snippet. You don't have to watch all 2 minutes. You can get a gist in like 30 seconds.
Okay. Playing the video. All right. He is sitting there. He is looking around curiously. Huh. Definitely not crying. He seems captivated by something.
Yeah. You know, I'm starting to wonder if like the first part of that interaction was actually like a night terror or also like sleepwalking. Because like we weren't really connecting.
Right. Where he wasn't fully awake.
Yeah, because like what we were doing wasn't really a real interaction, right? Like, you know, right. He was pointing and flailing and stuff, but like he wasn't all there, you know, and he wasn't really taking comfort from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, maybe he was asleep.
Interesting. But then what made him go quiet and sit and stare for 20 minutes? Just the next phase of the night terror, like moving into more of a sleepwalking catatonic phase?
I guess. I mean, at first I thought, oh, he's waiting for Corey. But if he was waiting for Corey, he'd probably be like, da-da, da-da, you know, or like standing. And he was, I mean, that video you saw, he's just like looking around.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And it's pitch black in his room. Pitch black.
Wow.
So, yeah, weird.
That's so strange. Well, it does sound like a night terror. You know, I've been through a lot of those with Cece, and that does sound very characteristic of a night terror. But she's never just calmed down immediately and stared around. So, yeah, super curious.
So weird. If it ever happens again, I will report back. But definitely was a weird moment.
Yeah. But you know me, I'm always immediately jumping to, well, it was the shadow man or it was like some ghost in your house, like coming to comfort the baby. But I like to go there.
Yeah, you're so invested in me having a haunted house at this point, Shaw.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
I'm the one who has to live here.
I know. Well, I live vicariously through it. You know, I love creepy stories and stuff, and I don't want to live them myself, but if I could hear about them, I'm all for it.
Gotcha. Gotcha. You just want me to be tortured.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, that was our week. Another fractured sleep week with the baby, but at least Augie is doing great. And honestly, his mood is so much better. He's just everything is just so much better with Augie after he's been like properly rested. Imagine that. So
imagine that. Well, imagine that's wonderful. That. Yay. Good news.
Yay. Okay. So that's me. What's been going on with you guys this week?
Okay. I have a couple things to report from this week.
Great.
Yes. Let's see. Let's start with the tie-in to last week's check-in. Okay. Last week, I talked about how we went to Redondo Beach for my birthday, and it ended up being a pretty stressful trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
CC was pretty difficult, and the car ride there, I don't know if I mentioned it in last week's check-in, but the car ride there was excruciating.
Really?
This is a one-hour car trip from our house to Redondo Beach. It's not that big of a deal. But the two of my kids together, they like are in this phase where they taunt each other. They egg each other on. Mm. They like make each other scream and cry. Elle like complains constantly that she's car sick. I mean, we are in the car for 2 minutes. She's like, oh, I'm queasy. And
oh,
she's
boy.
Like, roll down the window. And then Cece's like, I don't want the window down, and screams. And it's just like, I'm on edge, right? I'm like, this is terrible.
You just describing that like raised my blood pressure a couple points.
Yeah, exactly. So imagine that for one full hour of your life. Ah, terrible. So the trip ends and I'm just like completely spent. But what my mind is doing is jumping ahead a couple weeks to where I have planned and I have agreed to drive my family to Phoenix, Arizona to visit my mom and brother, like my family out there. That's what we are planning to do for the week of 4th of July. Like I took off the week. My mom has the week off. She's like, I want the girls to see my house and where I live. Like she lives in a cute little HOA neighborhood with a huge pool and park. Like that's where I grew up and had all my birthday parties. And, you know, I was like, yeah, Elle hasn't been there in a long time. And my mom comes to visit me so much. Like I will commit to going and seeing her, right? And visiting her on her turf. Like I'm down with that. After this trip to Redondo Beach, I was like, no way in fucking hell am I putting these kids in a car for 6 hours.
Oh my God.
To drive to Phoenix. This sounds like complete torture. So I have been just stressing out about what to do about this situation because the trip is coming up. I don't want to do the car trip. I don't want to cancel on my mom, like, because we already booked a cabin, like an Airbnb up in Flagstaff. Like, that's part of our trip, right? We're going to go to Phoenix, then drive up to the mountains. And we already paid for that. And I just really don't want to back out. But I can't, I just can't do this. And so I'm racked with guilt on so many different levels and completely stumped on how to solve this problem.
I 100% understand that feeling. When we went to Newport for my mom's birthday last winter, I think I canceled something like immediately after also because I was just like, I'm not going anywhere with these kids. You know what it was? I think it was going up to Fresno. I was like, I can't take both these kids up to Fresno. Like, it's just too much. And I got so much shit from like my mom about that basically because she was like, it's not that hard. I'll help and all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't think you understand. Like, I think people think that we're just, I don't know, just like not wanting to do hard things or something, you know, like, but as the mom, you are so much like the center point, like the focus of all this energy. And I mean, I got super sick after that trip and I was like, so wiped out. I just like never wanted to do anything again. Of course, now we're going to fly up to Portland. So I've clearly forgotten everything. But
time erases all wounds.
Yes. But that's a 2 hour flight, which is different than a 6 hour drive. Like 6 hour drive is much worse, which will turn into like a 10 hour drive probably with all the stops you have to make.
Exactly. And then we were planning to drive up to Flagstaff once we're there. Right. That's like a 2 hour drive. So I'm trying to figure something out. I'm telling everybody my problem, right? Like other moms in the neighborhood, they're like, just drive at night, like leave at 7 p.m. And I'm like, okay, maybe I could do that. And then it's like, well, maybe we could all fly. And I like priced out tickets. It's like $1,000 for all of us to fly. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we don't exactly have that money, you know, right now, or I want to spend it on other things. I don't know. So I don't know what I'm going to do yet. Like, I'm just here to report that I'm completely in limbo. My stomach is in knots about it, and there's no resolution yet about what I'm going to do.
Well, here's what I'll say. I think you should go with your gut and do what you think is best and not what other people want you to do because we get so much pressure, and then we're the ones that have to deal with, like, fallout from things, you know? It's like, oh, come, we'll help, it'll be fine. And then, like, you know, there's only so much the grandparents can do. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, especially when Cece's in a fierce mommy phase and, like, you know, won't let go of me and stuff. Like, no one can help in those situations.
That's right. So I will be curious what you decide, though.
Yeah, hopefully I'll have some answers next week.
All righty. Well, Godspeed.
My other check-in this week is Cece is sick yet again.
What?
I know. She's, like, literally picking up every single thing that's going around her preschool. And, you know, it's usually not noteworthy. I don't really talk about it very much on the show except to just kind of mention it. But this time it was like, my throat hurts. Like, usually it's just kind of a general, like, she has a fever or something. Mm-hmm. But this time she's like, my throat hurts. My neck hurts. My throat hurts. And so I look in her throat and she just has, like, red rash.
Ooh.
Like owies on the back of her throat. And I was like, oh no, honey, I think maybe you have hand, foot, and mouth disease. Because she had a super high fever. She's got these things on her throat and she was extremely fatigued. Like, she has been asking all week, can I go to bed early? Like, she just wants to sleep. I know, right? She wants to go to bed early. She's, like, falling asleep during the day and stuff. And, man, I don't know. Have your kids gotten hand, foot, and mouth?
I think Augie had it as, like, a six-month-old because he had, like, the little bumps, you know, on his, like, feet and hands. But, and, like, a really slight fever. But it didn't really, like, register with him. I think he might have had a fever for a day and that was it. So he got off pretty easy.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. And then, like, by the end of the week, like, Elle had it. So it's just like, ugh, I just want some relief in my life. And so, yeah, the main reason I'm mentioning that is because it's going to tie into what I'm going to report in the last segment of our show.
Okay. So. All right. All right. So we'll remember that poor little Cece and her nonstop illnesses. Oh, poor thing.
Yeah, poor thing. But anyway, so that's us for this week. Should we move on to our special segment?
I think we should.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not one skin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Alo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Alo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Alo Moves has to offer, visit alomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Alo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Alo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's alomoves.com, code BFP. alomoves.com, code BFP. Okay, we are back and we have a very special segment this week. We have my toddler and me teacher, my savior, Gia Gambaro Blunt. She is, first of all, she's amazing. She's so sweet. She's so wonderful. She's been my teacher since Augie was like 12 months, right? I started doing toddler and me classes with Augie at 12 months. And then the pandemic hit and we did virtual classes for a long time. And now I have Sebastian in class with you. And we wanted to bring you on because you are an amazing resource. Will you tell us a little bit about yourself and what makes you such a, like, amazing toddler whisperer?
Well, first of all, thank you, both of you, so much for having me on. It's a true honor. And yeah, I've had such a great time getting to know you and your beautiful children. What makes me the toddler whisperer? I am a mother myself, right? So I had this thing happen. I went to school to learn how to become an early childhood educator, got my degree in developmental psychology and my master's in early childhood education, was like, I know everything there is to know about raising children now. And then I had children. And oh my word, my boys were so different from one another. It really forced me to be very humble about how challenging parenting is. And I learned so much in the parenting trenches that I knew I wanted to give that back to other new families. So I've spent the last almost 20 years helping thousands of parents tailor strategies to meet their personalities and the personalities of their children. My whole thing is there's no right way. There isn't a one-size-fits-all. So I hope that answers your question, Laura. I mean, that was such a beautiful introduction. Why am I good at what I do? I think it's because I'm good at learning who you are. That's what I hope it is.
Can you tell us a little bit about, like, your formal background, too? Like, so people know, you know, your qualifications and whatnot? other than just being really good at it?
Well, sure, sure. Yeah, like I mentioned a little bit, you know, I got my BA in developmental psychology and my master's in early childhood education with an emphasis on infant toddler development, how the brain is formed, and behavior intervention plans. And I started working for the local elementary schools. I worked everywhere from pre-K up until third grade. And I was one of those teachers that was always going above and beyond, but also one of those teachers like, well, why would a parent send a Lunchable? Like, don't they know that's bad for kids? And then it's the same thing. I had that like, whoa, when I had my own kids, like, Lunchables are awesome. Yes, toxic, but also necessary sometimes. So I think really where my experience comes in is when I started parenting. So I myself, just like you, Laura, started attending a Parent and Me class. And with my first one, way back in 2003. And I started to be kind of the go-to parent in that class that offered some tips and strategies. And so my parent ed teacher was like, I think you'd be good at teaching. And the story just kind of takes off from there. It's a true career fairy tale. I went from being a student to teaching the class to being asked to run the program, the entire program, and then being recruited to start the Family Room toddler curriculum. So I just kept growing in my career. And I think part of that reason is because I never do the same thing twice. I'm always really in the moment and really trying to learn as anytime anything new comes out. I read everything so you don't have to.
I love that. That's what we need in our life. Other people to do the hard work for us. Thank you.
Exactly. I'll be your human Google search.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, we have let our listeners know that you're going to be on our show, and we asked if anyone had any questions for you, any trouble with their toddlers that they need some help with. And boy, oh boy, did we get a lot of questions. A lot of people need help with their toddlers, me included.
Okay.
I don't know if she's technically a preschooler now, but we've got questions for you. But I thought maybe, is it okay? Can I start with my own question? Because I'm very excited you're here and I need help too.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good.
Oh, it would be my honor. Yes, of course.
Okay, so my three-year-old, she's almost three and a half now, Cece. My listeners and Laura know that Cece is very prone to epic meltdowns. Like, oh, it exhausts me to the core. I often use a strategy of trying to sit quietly with her, like as calmly as I can on the outside, even though I'm like stressing out on the inside. I try to be present with her while she's going through the feelings and stuff. And that's working to a certain degree.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that really like upsets me about her meltdowns that I can't get a grasp on, it really triggers me. And I think I need some help figuring out how to navigate it, is that sometimes she hurts herself on purpose when she's in these moments. Like, she will like just make fists with her hands and like start hitting her own head, or make fist and like start slamming her thighs. And I'm just like, oh my God, you're going to hurt yourself. It's like, why does she do that? And how can I help her not do that?
Oh, Shauna, such a good question. And I'm happy you feel safe asking me that and sharing that with your listeners, because I feel like people feel shame around that.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't, because it's very typical. It's when anybody is super overwhelmed, they're not using all of their brain to figure out how to get through that situation. Mm-hmm. So anytime I hear about really big feelings, I always like to break it down into two different sequence patterns. For you, it's a before, during, and after. And for her, there's a triggering event, a feeling. That feeling causes a behavior. And then there's some time from that behavior till it just peters out. Mm-hmm. So which one do you want to start with, you or her?
Let's start with her.
Okay. So if there's a triggering event, and maybe you want to share like a real life example, otherwise I can make one up. But
yeah.
You want to use a real one?
Yeah, an example would be she has to go potty and wants me to help her. So she's potty trained. So I'll bring her to the bathroom, but I'll do something wrong, right? I'll put the potty seat down wrong, or just like one little thing I'll do wrong. And she's like, no, I wanted it the other way. And then she's off at the races. And I'm just like, right. What happened?
Right. It just all happens in a flash. Right.
Yes.
Okay. So let's use this as our example. So the triggering event is something is not how she perceived it to be. Right. Her, she had a mental image of things being one way, and then it didn't match in real life. And that dichotomy just throws her over the edge. Mm-hmm. So we could probably find that pattern in other things that go on in her life. Like maybe the toast wasn't buttered perfectly, or the dress didn't fall just so. Or yeah. And that's so weird.
Yes.
We can talk about that specific thing as well, because that's a different thing to troubleshoot when your mental image and reality don't match. Those are perfectionist tendencies, and we can talk about that. But the trigger in general, so it can be this or it can be you said no to ice cream, you know, whatever right. it is. So what happens with big body meltdowns, also known as tantrums, is you're triggered by something. In her case, it's what we just said. And the trigger causes an emotion. Now, what's your best guess is Cece's emotion when things didn't go according to plan?
Rage, fury. Okay,
that's right. Anger, frustration, rage. That pure red hot heat comes out. Uh-huh. So that feeling, that anger feeling, that's a root feeling, right? That's a deep one. That's just a feeling. So the trigger is an event. A feeling is just a feeling, but then there's behavior. So that's that's the next thing in this sequence. Behavior is, there are some behaviors that are okay and there are some behaviors that are not, but all emotions are okay. So her rage is okay, but hitting, throwing, yelling is not. So what we want to work on are replacement behaviors that match the emotion, something that is sustainable over her lifespan, something that you can imagine her using as a 12-year-old, a 22-year-old, a 47-year-old, right? You want to give her sustainable long-term behaviors that match the rage. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, because, you know, she's not yelling at you right now. She's not laying on the ground hurting herself right now. At some point, she regulates. Something evens her out. And so that actually, that distance between the behavior, the hitting herself, and the regulation, that distance between those two things, that's called the tantrum. That's what the tantrum is.
Yeah. Okay.
It's that length of time from behavior to regulation. So what we often do as parents accidentally is focus on triggers. I'll fix it. Let me cut your toast again. We'll focus on those triggers,
which
it's too late because the emotion's already bloomed, right? It's already in there.
That's so true. It makes her more mad when I try to offer solutions. I'm like, I'll fix the potty seat. I'll do this. I'll do that. She's like,
exactly. It's too late. What she needs is a way to express that root emotion.
Okay.
Right. What's a way? And I mean, maybe we could talk about this later, but root emotion and complex emotions and mixed up emotions, there's different ways to handle all of those. But anger is one of our primary six. It's the one every child everywhere around the world and probably on other planets are born with, right? It's like we have happy, sad, disgust, blah, blah, fear. And anger is one of them. So we need to give her replacement behaviors. So when you're mad, you can. And so these are things you've probably heard before. Stamp your feet, clap your hands, clench and release, verbalize, cry, ask for help. No human can do those replacement behaviors unless they have practiced them at neutral times.
That was going to be my next question. Like, should I discuss this with her ahead of time, like, you know, at a normal time? Okay.
That's right. Okay. Now, does Cece, is she prone to like do fantasy play, pretend play, imaginary play?
Yeah. She's open to that.
Mm-hmm. So what I would do for her and for other kids that are like this is get dolls, toys, stuffed animals, dinosaurs that she likes playing with and reenact a true story. This baby dinosaur didn't like it when the toilet seat was just so and was like, Mommy! And then the dinosaur like bangs its head on the ground, or you reenact it. And then and then through pretend play, you use replacement behaviors. right?
Okay.
And then you ask her to be the mommy, and then you ask her to be the baby. So if you have a child that's very imaginative, this is fun. And then if this is a way to kind of build up the experience, the practice, I also call that like filling the file, right? You just start putting in experiences to build the replacement behavior file. I feel mad, so I can, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Whatever the things are that work for her. And that's also the trial and error to see what she's willing to do or not do or can't even process to understand. What do you mean stomp my feet or ask for help or verbalize or, you know, that kind of thing. A lot of really reputable toddler solution people out there in the interwebs, they say teach coping strategies. And I 100% agree. But they're missing this very important piece. You need a replacement behavior and then a coping strategy. You can't just, we can't either. If I cracked my cell phone right now, I would probably be like, oh man, or say a curse word. And then I would take a deep breath and calm myself down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So release, recover. That's the combo. So,
okay.
So at neutral times, practice replacement behaviors through play, through conversation. It could be mealtime talks. It could be car ride talks. And then for emotional regulation, that should be consistent. So how to teach calming coping strategies, that's the same way that you would teach what I call emotional hygiene. You teach emotional hygiene the same way you teach personal hygiene, which is using the time, place, tool method.
Okay.
So we regularly practice our keeping our teeth clean after or before bed or after dinner. That's time. In the bathroom over the sink, that's place. And with the toothbrush and toothpaste, that's the tool.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We want to do that same thing with emotional hygiene. There's a predictable time, maybe before bed, maybe when we first wake up, maybe in the afternoon during that dead time. We want a place, a cozy corner, a soft pillow, a rocking chair, a tent. One of the students in our class, Laura, you know, she got her daughter a little teepee, and the daughter goes in there. She's 2.5. She goes, I calm down now.
Oh, cool. That's a great idea.
I know. She says her name. She goes, I take break. Oh. So that's the place. And then in that place, you want some tools. Now, the tools that you can have a combination of things that are tangible and intangible. A tangible tool would be like a squishy toy. An intangible tool would be like a deep breaths. So you practice that emotional hygiene every day with regularity, the same way you take care of her teeth, her body, right? You practice it regularly and you keep switching out the tools until she builds a really great toolkit of strategies that she can take with her to her first day of school. She could take with her to a play date. She, you know, those things will travel well with her outside of the comfort of home. Or when she's about to lose it in Target, you won't have your TP and squishy toy, but you will have something, right? You can say, oh, you're very mad you're not getting this pack of gum. You know, you can clench and release, stomp your feet, say, mad I don't get gum. And now we're ready for a deep breath, a pressure point, a hug, a sip of water, smelling something good. You can, you know, carry some essential oil with you or, you know, something like that. That can trigger that regulation, something that coping strategy.
I love that idea. It's like when I'm in the moment with her, you know, it's like, don't hit yourself, like take a deep breath. But these are like new concepts to her in that moment when she's enraged, right? Like, so of course, introduce those ideas at a calm moment and practice them.
Yes.
Like, it never occurred to me. So this is good. This is going to be helpful, really helpful for our listeners too, I think, just in dealing with tantrums and meltdowns in general with their kids.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a game changer. It really is. And the reason you see her repetitive like self-harm is because she can't process in the moment and she can't retain the lesson that you're giving her, right? Mm-hmm. Because she's in the moment. Then the next day is like starting all over again.
Exactly. Ooh, well, I've got some work ahead of me, but I'm excited about it. This is so good.
I'm so glad to hear that. Well, thanks for listening to all of that. I feel like it was a lot. I'm also a college professor, so sometimes I go into lecture mode, but when I get when I get excited about a topic, and this is my favorite topic, sometimes I slip into lecture mode. Yeah, so I teach child development classes. That's another way I stay current in all of the cool research and weird experiments and research that they do with children. So that's how I stay really current with what's going on out there. So thanks for listening to all of that, Shauna.
Of course. Lecture on. I am your student.
Great.
All right. Laura, do we have some listener questions that we can give to Gia?
We do. And actually, we have a voice memo for this first one. So I'm going to play it.
Awesome.
Okay, so I haven't reached having a toddler yet, but is every toddler hard? Like, I hope that's not a stupid question. I'm going to assume yes, and I know some are hard at 2 and some are hard at 3. I don't know if you could address that question, but being that I just have an infant right now, it does really kind of scare me, and I'm sure some are easier than others. That toddler stage, I don't know. It just really kind of scares me. Whoa, sister. All right. Good night, ladies. Talk soon. Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was from Macy Smith, who we've heard from before. Hi, Macy. Thank you for sending that voice memo in. All right, so Gia, tell us, are all toddlers hard?
All healthy, typically developing toddlers should have some struggle between independence and ability. That is normal part of healthy psychological development. So the good news, bad news is, yes, they're going to give you trouble, but that's because they're healthy and developing. So, so it's the good news, bad news. A very famous child development theorist is Erik Erikson. Everybody knows who he is. If you've ever heard the term identity crisis, that was him. And he did a crisis for every stage of development. And the toddler one is called autonomy versus shame and doubt. But I really look at it, like I said, it's like independence versus ability. And they want to do things on their own and they can't. So I can give you a hack, though, because one of the things that happens is for those first 2 years of life, you see so much change from an infant to a young toddler, and they're so excited to do things on their own. You go, as a parent, you go from like doing things to them, changing their diaper, dressing them, feeding them, to doing things with them, where you're like, you know, hold your spoon or take off your shoes by yourself, or you can turn, you know, you can get in the bathtub by yourself, or, you know, and they are so compliant because they're so excited to do that in the beginning. The reason that changes around 2 when they're an older toddler is because you've given them 2 years of education. And then usually parents just keep doing the same method, which is super annoying. So to the toddler. Mm-hmm. So like, imagine how much you both know it's healthy for you to drink water all day. And I come along telling you, drink more water. Come on, Shauna, take another sip, Laura. Laura, have you had enough water, Laura? Laura, drink some more. And you're like, I know. That's kind of how your older toddler will feel. But the shift is invisible. What you see instead is behavior pushback. So the hack is, once you start having a toddler push against you for something that they have normally done without issue, things like they won't lay still for a diaper change. They won't get in the car seat without a fight. They won't let you change them into their clothes. Whenever you're like, but they never did this before. Or if you hear yourself saying, they were always happy doing this until now, or all of a sudden, any of those phrases means you missed a stage of development, that they learned something and now you're kind of annoying them. So yes. The shift is an independent tweak. We give them an independence upgrade, also known as an upskill. So let's just use the like bath time. If all of a sudden you're like, I don't understand, they used to love bath time and now they don't. That's it. That's your aha moment. You're like, okay, All of a sudden, they're giving me trouble with bath time. What can I do differently to increase their independence so they don't give me this trouble? So you could do things like have them turn the water on by themselves, squeeze out the shampoo by themselves, pick out different toys for the tub by themselves, or stop giving them baths and start giving them a shower, right? Mm. You always want to slide up towards independence. What they do is slide backwards with behavior challenges or some kind of turbulence in their behavior. And what we need to do to respond is go upwards towards higher level skills. So they ask in weird ways to be treated differently. But what they're basically saying sometimes is like, I'm not a baby anymore. Uh-huh. Right? Yeah. So they ask, they say that in a way that's frustrating.
So, yes.
It's through behavior challenges. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the bathtub example is one. The getting in and out of the car seat is another. If all of a sudden they're giving you trouble with getting in and out of the car seat, and before they never gave you any trouble, it means that we need to do something different to increase their independence. So can they open the car door by themselves? Can they climb in to the car seat by themselves? Can they do the first buckle, the clasp by themselves? You know, what can they do that is towards independence that will upskill them? And that usually extinguishes that behavior problem or that frustration level when they get satisfied by doing a new skill.
Absolutely. I've seen that in my own kids. I mean, I didn't implement it as specifically like as you said, right? Because this is such like new terminology to me, and I love thinking about it that way. But like just when it just happens, right? When Cece is so mad about her car seat, and then suddenly she's like, I want to do the buckles. And I'm like, okay, mm-hmm. sister. She starts doing it, and then I notice like it's a happier experience for her. So this it totally makes sense.
That's right. Our job is to raise adults, not children.
Right? That is true.
Yes. And so if we keep treating them like children, they will start to push against us. Hey, listen, look what I do for a living. I did the same to my own two boys. It wasn't until my older son was like, I think 5, that I just like realized I was still giving him like little sippy cups. Like, I was like, wait, what am I doing? He could use a cup. Like, we get into our routines and our ruts, and it's totally normal, but they will ask for independence in really not fun ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Sebastian's doing a lot of like arching and trying to like throw himself towards the floor head first. That's a fun action right now.
Oh, no.
When he's mad. Yeah. And biting, too, which is I've asked you about that in class. I think we're doing OK with the biting, but it's like, whoa. Like,
Sebastian's at a tough age because he's so like his receptive language is 100%. His expressive language is not quite there. And that dissonance between what your brain can do and what your mouth can do can be so frustrating.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that actually leads us to our next question, which is from a listener on Instagram. She asks, how can I get my 18-month-old to stop throwing his cup / utensil / plate when he is quote unquote done? It sounds like it might tie into what we were just talking about.
It really does. Yeah, that's very insightful, Laura. 18 months is getting really close to that older toddler stage. And so that independence is really on high alert. So the first thing that I would ask is that 18-month-old still in a high chair? They might be over it. They might be like, I've done this for a long time. I'm ready to be upskilled. You can take the tray off and bring them to the table. That would be an upskill example. But the other thing that I'm thinking of for this particular situation is to give him an empty plate and have him do self-serve. So here's the thing. When a child picks their own food, they're less likely to throw it because it's been their choice to put it on their plate. Mm. A transition to family-style eating can sometimes, not for all kids, obviously, and that's true for all of the things we're talking about, but it sometimes can switch that psychology around like, I chose this, so I want it. That can help eliminate throwing. And then another way that you can eliminate throwing is to have a discard bowl. Because again, if we think about upskilling, there is something that happens later in life about what you do when you're done with your food. Eventually, you want to see that toddler, preschooler, you know, early childhood, take their plates, walk it over to the sink, rinse it off, like put it in the dishwasher. I mean, those are all in the future horizon, right? So what's a baby step, a little scaffold towards that next step might be to have a discard bowl. So when you're done, it goes in here. And so what I would do is that similar to that replacement behavior, if he throws it on the ground, you pick it up and go, oh, it goes in here. Try and get it in the bowl. Try and get it in the bowl. And so you give them direction with throwing. And then that's this little baby step. Then with a discard bowl that eventually be walked over to the sink, maybe even filled with bubbles. They can quote unquote wash it. Not really, but you know. So that's what you want to try to imagine when you have this turbulence with around any behavior issue is what would be the eventual goal of the behavior I'd wish to see, and what's a baby step to get me there? Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. Absolutely.
Yeah, give them direction. Oh, you're all done. Okay, this is what we do when we're all done. Put it in this bowl, fill it with some soap and water, and we wash it, right? Like, yeah. That's what's next.
Right, and it's perfect for them and for their age. Yeah, it's perfect.
Mm-hmm. And kind of fun. Mm-hmm. So there's this whole thing. I mean, you know this instinctually already, but I'll just say it anyway. Like, whatever you give attention to grows. So we want to give attention to expected and desired behavior and not give attention to behavior we want to extinguish. So if you say don't throw, that grows throwing. If we say throw into the bowl, then you get that directed behavior. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, and I'm sure you already know this, but it's worth repeating, is when you say don't do something, and even with like Cece's headbanging, when you say don't headbang or whatever, uh-huh. It forces a toddler to double process, which they can't do. They cannot do it. So uh-huh. A double process is stop this behavior and do another. And that's, so when we say don't touch the hot stove, they're going to touch the hot stove because they can't think that fast.
Right.
And you know what? If you catch yourself this week trying to use replacement behavior language, you're going to see it's hard for your grown-up brain. Don't touch the hot stove. What are you going to say? Touch the ground. Touch my hand. if it's hard for you to think of it, it's impossible for them to think of it.
Totally. Totally.
I think I need to do the discard bowl with Sebastian too, because he is starting to throw food when he's all done. And I think he thinks it's fun. And then Augie also thinks it's fun. And like they egg each other on. And I do know he loves moving things from one container to another. So this will fill that gap too.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try that at dinner tonight and I'll report back. But you know what? I think we could probably keep Gia here for like the next 5 hours asking her questions.
Yes. Oh, she doesn't want to do that?
Oh, we are going to keep her a little longer, but we are going to stick the next set of questions in our next episode, because otherwise this episode would be very long. And we do want you to get on with your lives, listeners. So, but before we let Gia go for this episode, we do ask all of our guests if they have a BFP they want to share with us. And Gia, you said you do have a BFP, so... now is your chance.
Oh, I do. My big fat positive of this week is my swimming pool.
Oh, it is. Yes.
Nice.
So I recently got very injured. I have a broken wrist and I can't do anything, but I can float. I can float. And oh my goodness, does it feel amazing. It's a million degrees here and getting in that pool is like, it's better than therapy.
Yes. Oh, I'm so jealous. I want a pool in my backyard so bad.
It's so worth it.
Oh, that's an amazing BFP. I'm happy for you.
Thank you. I'd also like to say, you know, one of the things that I feel very passionate about is giving these tailored approaches to parents. So if any of these things don't seem easily applicable for you, you can find me on my website, Gia Gambaro Blunt, and book a one-on-one session with me. I'd be happy to work with you directly.
Yes, everyone, we're going to have the URL in our show notes. You should absolutely find Gia. She is a genius, as you can already tell, I'm sure. And I have to say that having you as a resource, Gia, has made my parenting journey so much better and so much easier, because I can just, it's so funny. Whenever we have a problem, Corey will be like, well, have you asked Gia about it?
That makes me so happy. Thank you. That really is my mission. You know, that's my mission, is to help parents. And I'm happy to hear that it helped you. So thank you for sharing that.
I'll just be like, well, it's almost Tuesday. I'll like hold on to this till our class. So
love it. Love it.
But anyway, Gia, thank you again for coming on and answering these questions. And we will be seeing you again for the next episode. So listeners, please tune in for that next week. But for now, Shauna, should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
I think we should. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We are back, and we wrap up every episode with our weekly Big Fat Positives or Big Fat Negatives of the week. Laura, what do you got for us?
I have a BFN.
Oh, Oh, for some reason I was not expecting that. Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a me BFN. This is a giving myself a demerit so that I'll do better in the future.
Okay.
But my BFN is comparing my children to each other.
Oh, tell me more.
Okay, so you know, our listeners know that Augie was a very precocious talker. He was an early talker. He was an early, very complex talker. He continues to be, like, very precocious with his speech and just, like, you know, there's just a area where he's been, you know, ahead of, you know, or, like, on the far end of the bell curve, right? Mm-hmm. And we had this issue, or I guess it's not an issue, but, like, I had this experience a lot, especially when he was about two, where we'd go to the park or something, and another parent with a kid around the same age would hear him talking. And they'd freak out, basically, and be like, oh, my gosh, did he just say, like, whatever stupid complex sentence he said, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're like, oh, my son's not even really talking yet. My son's, like, barely putting two words together. And I would tell every single one of them, please do not compare against Augie. He's, like, a weirdo. He's off the charts. It just happens to be an area of strength for him. Like, you really shouldn't compare because it's not a fair comparison. Like, you know, it's everyone develops at their own rate and blah, blah, blah. And you shouldn't be worried, right? This is great advice I gave to other parents. But now...
You're not taking your own advice, Laura?
I'm not, apparently. So I now have a 17-month-old, actually. I forgot to say that in the check-in. He just turned 17 months this week.
Okay, cool.
And I was getting curious about his speech because, like, I couldn't remember exactly when Augie started talking and stuff. And Sebastian's babbling and has some words, but I couldn't remember, like, exactly when Augie was doing, like, the same stuff. So I went back in my Google Photos and, like, searched for videos from when he was newly 17 months. And I was watching these videos of Augie from that age, and it kind of sent me into a spiral because I was like, Sebastian's not doing that. Like, Augie at 16 months said, Pepper, nose, because he, like, knew that pepper made you sneeze. Right. And I remember thinking that was so cute and so funny. Uh-huh. And, like, Sebastian says, car for car, and ka for cat, and ka for cow, you know, and ka-ka for helicopter. And I'm just like, this is not the same. And it kind of sent me into a little bit of a spiral. And I was all worried, like, oh, no, is he going to need early intervention? Like, how many words should he be saying right now? Shauna, I started a spreadsheet to track what words he speaks.
Oh, my God. That is so typical. What is on your spreadsheet?
Here, let's see. Okay, it's titled Sebastian's Words, and there's a column for word, a column for pronunciation, date I recorded him being able to say this, and any comments I might have. So, for example, I have the word bird, but he pronounces it ba, and... you know, stuff like that. like, again, he says again, but he really says again. I will say that even though, like, it's probably not healthy to have a spreadsheet of your kids' words, it's kind of cute to see what's coming up. And also, it did reassure me because, like, you know, he has, like, 12 or 13 words on here, which I think is, I think the average is 50 by 18 months, and I can tell he's getting more. And so, like, it showed me that it's not, like, I shouldn't be worried. But that leads me back to my BFN, which is that I shouldn't be comparing my kids. Like, they're different people, you know? Augie, he's, like, excelling at speech and language. He didn't walk till 12 months, and Sebastian was, like, walking at 10, I think, right? Or, like, almost. Right. Maybe it was 11, but barely, you know? And he's, like, here I am comparing them. See, this is the problem. This is the problem. The point is they have different strengths, and I need to appreciate that.
Yes, but what you're experiencing, I think, is so common. And I think a lot of listeners who have two children are going to be like, oh, yeah, I get that. I mean, I hear what you're talking about, and I'm like, oh, I literally did the exact same thing with Elle and Cece. I went back in my Google Photos and found videos of Al around, I don't know, 17, 18 months to see what she was saying. And she was also an early talker and extremely verbal. At that age, she was like singing her ABCs. She gave herself a nickname at that age. I was flipping out. And granted, I did end up having some problems with Cece and her articulation problems down the road, but that was like completely irrelevant, I think, at like 17, 18 months, because like you can't even judge really like what a kid is going to end up developing at that age. Like all the pediatricians, right, were like, no, don't even worry about it until she's like 2.5, 3 years old, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm just here to say that like that's totally normal. I think we've all been there. I've totally been there. So I get where you're coming from. And yeah, they are different people. You're so right. Like you're realizing it and you're making a point to be conscious of it. And that's like the right thing to do. So yeah, you're all good.
And I should say that I make a really like conscious effort to not compare them on anything like in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been something I've been aware of, like don't compare them in front of them. And my mom will do that. She'll be like, oh, wasn't Augie doing this at this age? And I'm like, I don't know. We're not comparing them against each other in front of them. But I am so guilty of doing it privately. So I'm going to try to be better and I'll report back.
Okay, sounds good.
But anyway, that is my BFN for the week. Shauna, I want to know, do you have a BFP or a BFN?
I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
Yes. And it is related to what I talked about in my check-in, which is Cece being sick this week and being very fatigued and tired. And as such, she's been very snuggly in the middle of the day. She just like crawls up on my lap and like, you know, puts her head against my chest.
Aww.
And she did that the other day. And I was like, do you want me to sing to you? Thinking she's going to be like, no, like.
Yeah.
She has been since she was born. Like, she's like never really let me sing to her. I don't get to sing her lullabies and everything like I did to Elle. And she said, yes. And I was like, oh my God, now's my chance. And so I sang as many lullabies as I could think of. And then I took a chance and I started singing my favorite song, which is the Elton John Your Song, right?
Oh,
it's a little bit funny.
Yeah.
This feeling inside, and she just like listened to it. She allowed me to sing to her, and she was like resting her head on my chest, and I sang the song, and like she eventually fell asleep, and I was nap trapped for a little while, and it was awesome. Like, you don't get that very often anymore when your kids get a little bit bigger. It's like actually one of the nice things about them being sick. So I was really happy that I got to sing to her, right, and comfort her. So the next day, similar thing. She's still tired again. So she sits on my lap and she said, I want to hear It's a Little Bit Funny, the Elton John song. And I was like, oh, okay. And I'm like, oh, do you want to hear, like, do you want me to play it for you? Like, you want to hear the original? And so I ask Alexa to play it. And the song starts. And after a minute, Cece goes, no, I want to hear your voice. And I was like, record scratch. Excuse me? The moment I've been waiting for my whole life with you as your mother. Like, I wanted to replay that moment over and over. Like, she literally said, no. Like, I don't want to hear Elton John's voice, Mama. I want to hear your voice. I could not believe it. So I was like, Alexa, stop. And we put the kibosh on Elton John. And I got to sing it to her. And she rested her head on my chest. And it was just like the best thing ever.
Oh, I love it. Who needs Elton John? I mean, what has he got? Some Grammys or something. When you got Mama's voice.
He ain't got nothing on Shawn Michaels' beautiful voice.
It's a little bit funny. Now I've got that song stuck in my head.
I
love it.
So
good.
Much. So my BFP is that I beat out Elton John this week, and I'm very proud of it.
Awesome. Yep. Awesome.
And that's it. So, I think that's it for our show, yeah?
Yes, that is our show.
But wait, Laura, do we have a 5-star review to read?
You know we do.
Yay!
All right, this one is from Paige McVeigh. She says, friends for life, a must listen, 5 stars. She says, like gossiping with friends over coffee, but with no social interactions, always quality content and every Monday morning. I can't thank you enough for being bold enough to share all aspects of parenting. Your reach goes farther than you think. For example, my friend and I are going headfirst into gentle parenting now with our 1-year-olds and making sure to laugh when we absolutely miss the mark, just like you taught us. XOXOX, Paige.
Well, thank you, Paige. I love that review. Paige, that's so awesome. I will have non-social interaction gossip with you anytime. Anytime. I love it. Oh my gosh. Our listeners are the best. Listeners, will you do us a favor if you haven't left us a 5-star review yet? Will you head on over to Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen that allows reviews? Throw us those 5 stars. Tell us why you love the show. This helps other listeners take a chance on the show and helps us grow our community of awesome, awesome people who are living through similar things. And we're all just kind of one big family laughing through the ups and downs. And we want to reach as many people as possible who need to be part of this community. So thank you so much for doing that. And thank you to Gia for giving us all the tips and tricks on toddler troubleshooting. If you have any other issues you want to let us know about, reach out. Laura, where can they reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us a voice memo or just a regular old email, you can send it to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the group that is the coolest group of people that you will ever meet on the internet, just search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community. Request to join because it's a private group and you got to answer those 2 membership questions or else we're going to think you're a robot and like not let you in. But we want to let you in because it's a great group. And so once you answer those questions, you'll get sent straight through and can join in on all the wonderful conversations we're having in there.
Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Have a great week. Enjoy those kiddos. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.